All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at BYB 17 Brawl at Rock Hill. And we've got Mark Irwin getting into the mighty Trigon with Joshua Oxendine and going to be crowning the first BYB lightweight champion in the process. And great having Josh on the show. How's everything going there, man?
Everything's good, man. I can't really complain too much. So I appreciate you guys having me back on.
Yeah, and it seems like everything fell, you know, perfectly into place for you based on, like, the last time we were talking. Like, it seemed like this was, like, ideal in multiple regards, just being relatively, you know, close proximity to, like, the last fight and stuff like that, but also this being a chance to cement yourself as the champion and everything. So, can you speak to that? Like, was this the perfect, you know, unfolding of events, almost?
Yeah, man, it fell in place really perfect. I can't really complain too much. I went in there, got it done like I was supposed to, and then we're coming back to Rock Hill, kind of where it started in December, and kind of not my hometown, but kind of my hometown, what I represent. So I got a lot of family coming out, so yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's very interesting because the last time out, it was obviously, you know, historic in the sense that, you know, it was the first regulated bare knuckle event in, you know, the South Carolina area, and just now having a chance to, you know, make some more history in as far as, like, cementing yourself as BYB's first 135-pound champion there. Do you enjoy that kind of synergy and everything like that to the whole thing?
Yeah, it's pretty dope. It's a blessing from God that I was able to fight on the first show in South Carolina history at bare knuckle. I fought a lot in South Carolina, then to be able to come back and be BYB's first lightweight champion, first 135 champion, and then also the first champion in bare knuckle in South Carolina history. That would be the first. So it'd be pretty cool. I'm excited. I'm not taking it for granted. I'm working hard. I'm mentally, physically, emotionally to make sure I go out there and do what I did my past two events, which is knock them out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, definitely a lot to talk about with this next one, but I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't, you know, touch on the last fight briefly, just getting the second round stoppage in February there at BYB 15 and taking on a familiar foe and Cody Jenkins in the process. Can you kind of talk about that one and everything like that, just some of the main takeaways from that last fight there?
Yeah, Cody Jenkins was my third opponent, so I had to back out right before, and then he was the third opponent, which I fought him at MMA, and I submitted him. And great guy, great family. I respect Cody a lot. I didn't want to really fight him because I know him really well, but, you know, it's a business. You got to do what you got to do. I went in there, and I did what I had to do, which is finish him, and I finished him in the second round. 48 seconds into the second round, I finished him, and, you know, and then we closed the fold on that, and we move on to the next one.
Yeah, and I mean, overcoming a certain level of, you know, adversity in the fight too, just, you know, the early knockdown and kind of rallying back. But something I thought was kind of interesting was seeing, you know, a certain party comment on that one. I saw Mark Irwin comment on, like, the result post, and he said verbatim, if he got dropped by that tomato can, just imagine what's going to happen to this little altar boy when I catch him on the chin, and also described it as easy work and said he was the true lightweight champ. What's your response to that there?
You know, he talks too much. So, May 13th, he won't be talking no more. He'll be sipping through a straw. So if you're really worried about what, you know, Mark has to say, then you're kind of bored. You don't have too much to do during the day because he talks out the side of his neck. So, I ain't really worried about Mark or what he's talking about because of the fact that he got dropped. And his first BKFC fight against an opponent who has a, I think, a 4-15 boxing record. So Cody Jenkins will knock out Mark Irwin. So we'll see. He won't last longer than I finished him faster than I finished Cody Jenkins. So I ain't really worried about Mark.
Well, that's kind of interesting because one of the questions that I had kind of related to a post I saw you tossed up, like, it was more in relation to your last fight, talking about how you were, like, right outside the Trigon, and the caption was, visualizing my win. So to that point, I guess the visualization for this next one is a first round finish.
To be honest, I don't want to really knock him out. Like, if it comes, it comes. But I want to beat him from every word he spoke. So I told Cody Jenkins not to get up. Every time I drop Mark, I'm going to tell him to get up. I want to see that dog in him. I want him to look into my eyes when I'm punished in his face. So Mark talks too much. I'm going to go out there and really put some damage on him.
And has this guy been on the radar for a little bit? It seems like there's been a level of banter between you guys for at least a little while now. Like, when did that start? Is it mostly centric on trying to become the first BYB champion in that weight division? Or is there maybe a little more meat on the bone to it that I don't know about?
Nah, Mark is a nobody. Nobody knows who Mark is. He just talks too much. That's just all it is. And this fight game, we fight. That's what we do. And if you talk a lot, sign the contract and we can fight. He keeps calling himself the champion, which he has no belt. He keeps calling himself the greatest, which he ain't fought nobody. So, like, if you think you're the best, come over here and let's see. So he signed the contract, and that was his biggest mistake of his career, signing the contract to fight me.
I mean, there's a lot of interesting parallels in this one, too, though, just with you both being 2-0 and having a pair of stoppages. But it sounds like from what you're saying, maybe you're not particularly impressed from his efforts in BKFC and BYB so far. Like, what do you think of, I guess, the X's and O's of, you know, what he's good at in the ring and also, I guess, you know, his resume? I mean, it seems like you're not necessarily looking at it in the highest regard, but just thought to, you know, ask all the same.
No, I'm not looking past Mark. I'm just looking through him. He's 4-0, just like I'm 4-0, 2-0 in boxing, 2-0 in bare knuckle. You know, I just don't see his game that great. Like, I spar amateurs better than Mark, so I'm not taking him lightly. His mouth is better than his hands, let's just say that. But like I said, we have to get in there to fight, so I don't talk a lot like that. I let him run his mouth on social media. I let him post his little videos. But May 13th, he has to get in there with me. And when he does, his coaches can't get in there with him. His friends can't get in there with him. His family can't get in there with him. It's just going to be me and him. And when he says fight and I hit him, his whole life's going to completely change.
And you were talking about, like, gloved boxing in there, like, talking about both of what you, both of you have been able to do within gloved boxing and bare knuckle, and you were doing both of those sports concurrently last year. I guess I'm kind of curious with this one, you know, being a title fight, is the path through 2023 maybe mostly bare knuckle, or would you like to have some gloved boxing action this year as well?
No, I'm going to stay active. I'm going to stay active in boxing and bare knuckle. I'm going to just keep it flowing. I like to fight. I love to fight. I grew up fighting. That's what we did in the backyard. Where I'm from, you fight. If you want to, you know, be somewhere, be somebody, you have to put your hands up and fight. So this is, you know, bare knuckle is just an organized street fight. And, you know, Dada did it. And that's what I grew up doing, just like Dada grew up doing. And I'm going to go in there, handle business, become a champion, turn around, fight again. Like, I would like to get on the next show in London, shoot. Or if I box the next month. So it doesn't matter to me, man. I just like to fight. I like to go in there and do what I got to do.
I mean, you talk about, like, the experiences of, like, you know, throwing down in the backyards early on and stuff like that. And you're talking about Dada kind of having that experience as well. That seems to be a very interesting thing about this league, because it has that certain, I guess, sense of community and family and that kind of ethos of early on in the backyard days, but obviously, like, very high level elite fighters now and a lot of professionals going at it with a lot of great fight IQ on the line. Does that sort of, like, I guess, ethos resonate with you though? Like, just the whole rise from the backyards to, like, this more polished professional product ultimately?
Yeah, BYB's a family. From the bottom to the top, like, you know, Mark is a good guy. You know, we just got to collide to become champion. You know, if you want to be the best in the world, you got to take out everybody else to be the best. So Mark is on my radar, but from the bottom to the top, BYB's a family. Everybody really kind of respects everybody, and everybody really looks at everybody like a family. So I don't have no hard or ill will intention against nobody in the BYB family. We just going to fight. That's what we got to do, put your hands up and fight. Afterwards, we'll shake hands and go up against our ways. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go with my family and go with his family. But before that happens, we got to get in there and throw down. But, yeah, man, everything's a family at BYB. I love this organization. I'm going to keep fighting for this organization. The goal is to be the best in the world, and I got one man standing in front of me to make that happen, and I got to move him aside.
And just kind of in talking about, you know, seemingly strong connections and just, you know, strong bonds and whatnot, it seems like that's the case with, you know, Jamie Driver, like just with her cornering you last time out and her also being in a title fight at BYB 17. Can you kind of talk about that? Because I think that's a cool dynamic with you and Jamie Driver kind of having that sort of connection and then both readying to, you know, vie for championships on May 13th.
Yeah, Jamie's my homie. She's family for sure. Me and Jamie go way back until my amateur days, and she just went pro. We fought on the same card in South Carolina, and we stayed connected the whole time. So I knew Jamie probably like 5-6 years. So she fought in Florida, me and Mar Florida. She was like 40 minutes from there, and she was like, "I got you. I'm coming." So she cornered me with my wife, Coach AJ, and then to find out she's on this card, being my co-main event, fighting for the title in the women's division. So to see me as an amateur and she just turned pro, to now both pros, to be able to become champions on the same night after she cornered me my last fight, would be historic in our own way. So that's our goal. We're both training hard. We talk all the time. We talk every day. And we're just making sure we're pushing each other to be great. So when we go out there, we have easy finishes. And yeah, she's family. So, man, it's going to be pretty dope. As well, she's a straight dog. She'll stay in your face, punch you in the face, just like me. So, yeah, she's a certified dog.
Yeah, and another exciting fight too, just like similar to this one, and as far as like both combatants, you know, 2-0 going into it, and yeah, just a pair of very, you know, exciting title fights and stuff like that. So definitely, you know, adding to a great night and everything like that for sure, man.
Yeah, it's man. Listen, if you're fighting for a title on bare knuckle, you're a dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, straight up. So, you know, her opponent, dog, Mark, he's good. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no, I can't say nothing bad because my man is undefeated in bare knuckle. You know, to be undefeated in bare knuckle, you have to be talented in some way. So, it's going to be a great night of fights. This card is legit fire. Like, everybody on this card is dogs. Every fight on this card, someone's getting knocked out, or it's gonna be a lot of blood. So if you don't got tickets, I suggest you go ahead and buy them, use the promo code Preacher Man, and come out, because this place is gonna sell out, and I'm gonna blow the roof off this place.
Yeah, it's been quite the journey leading into this, and just speaking to the journey and everything, specifically the bare knuckle debut. I thought it was cool that you know, got to receive a painting from that bare knuckle fight in Rock Hill, and seemed to be quite the honor to you and everything, and understandably so. Can you kind of talk about the feelings when you received that? That seemed like a cool gift.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. One of my members, Miss Laura, she came to my gym and, you know, completely changed her life. She's amazing. And after that fight, she drew me a painting for my birthday of that, and it really touched me, man. It's really amazing to see how I can be able to uplift and motivate people to follow their dreams, such as I followed mine. So the goal is to continue to be a role model for everybody, old, young, kids, it doesn't matter, just to show people, no matter, you know, what you want to be in life, if you work hard, you push yourself, you never give up on yourself, and you work hard every day, you can be anything you want to be in this world. So that's the main objective, to continue to push that and let everybody know, you know, you don't have to have two parents, you don't have to come from this, you know, money to be something in life. You know, the only thing you need is hard work and dedication, and you can be anything.
Yeah, fair enough, and I imagine you're doing that a fair bit, just, you know, readying to fight for a title, and you got, like, you know, Pauly Malignaggi and Mike Goldberg calling the fights and, you know, providing the soundtrack, so it seems like a great time and very much something that could inspire others, for sure.
Yeah, I grew up listening to Mike and watching Pauly and Kalia. It's just, you know, it's surreal, you know what I'm saying, watching Dada on YouTube, and
yeah.
And now they know who I am. I know who they are. I shake hands. I talk to them. I consider them family now, you know. So, you know, they know my family. So it's surreal. It's pretty cool. At first, I was kind of starstruck when I first met them. But, yeah, man, it's pretty cool that they are considered family. And if you talk to them, they probably consider me family as well. So it's pretty dope. But like I said, May 13th, it's all business. There's no games going to be played. I'm going to go out there and do my job, and afterwards we can have fun.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess just one of my last questions here, because I saw you had a post towards the end of February saying, when it's all said and done, I'll be one of the best bare-knuckle fighters in the world. And obviously winning a title is a big capstone achievement to really bolster one's resume. Like, how much is this fight going to really, like, jettison you towards that kind of goal? Like, do you think capturing this title is really going to, I guess, really start you on that run? I mean, you've got two great wins so far, but is this really going to be, like, a catalyst to, I guess, especially bolster that resume and articulate to people that you are, in fact, one of the, you know, best bare-knuckle fighters in the world?
Yeah, this fight is just, to me, it's everything for me. Not just because it's for a title, not just because, you know, it's in Rock Hill. I'm going out there to go 3-0 with three finishes. And, you know, they call me the preacher man because I baptize people. And I'm going to continue to do that and take people out. I don't do wars. I don't do five-round wars where we're bloody. I don't do none of that. I do knockout of the nights. I do finishes. And, you know, May 13th, Baby Shark will get finished. And I will be 3-0. I will be a world champion. And then sky's the limit. I'm the face of BYB, and I'm going to continue to be the face of BYB. So when it comes May 13th, my hand will get raised. I will have a belt around my waist, and we're going to have a good night.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe a joint celebration with Jamie Driver if you both get your ideal outcomes.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. If we both win that title, man, not if, when we win that title, we both win that title, it's going to be so dope, because, she cornered me in my last fight. So to come from there and then we both are champions of the world, it's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be a great night, for sure, afterwards, celebrating, having a good time, spending time with family, and we're both laughing and enjoying life.
Yeah, I love to hear it, man. But you've been really great with your time as well, and I want to be mindful of the rest of your schedule as well. So is there any parting kind of final thought you might want to add as we're wrapping up, Joshua?
I just want to thank you for the opportunity, first of all. I want to thank, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today is, you know, it's Good Friday. Today is the day that, you know, Christ gave his life for all of us. So, you know, it's a special time, a special day. And, I want to shout out my sponsors, Joshua Locklear with Family First Life Soldiers, Gino with Locklear Agency, WD with My Entertainment, and Sammy Bailey with Official Sam Bailey. So shout out to them. Shout out to my wife, my family. Shout out to everybody who bought tickets so far and who's going to buy tickets. So don't miss it. Fireworks, May 13th, BYB, Rock Hill Sports Event Center. Doors open at 7. Main event, fighting for a title. So come out, watch the show, and get ready to celebrate with me.
Yeah, it's going to be a great fight at BYB 17, Mark Irwin, and everything like that. And like we've been talking about, just really a stacked card overall. It seems to be just getting deeper by the day. But yeah, really, you know, speaks volumes to the fact that this is such a highly featured fight on a deep event, and really appreciate you coming on and giving great insights ahead of such an obviously, you know, consequential fight. So again, to reiterate, thanks so much, man, and hopefully you have a good rest of your Good Friday.
I appreciate it, man, and shout out to our matchmaker, Mail, the best matchmaker in the building. So he's putting together these lethal cards. So you guys come out, show him some respect and some love too. Everybody's worried about the commentators, but everybody forget about the matchmaker. So shout out to Mail, BYB's matchmaker. He's one of the best in the building. So I appreciate you, man. Have a blessed day.
Yeah, thanks so much, man. Same to you. And yeah, I mean, for sure, just further articulating that great, you know, BYB team they have there and stuff like that. But yeah, thanks so much again, and you have a good day, man.
You too, man. Stay blessed.
All right, on this episode of Bouks Talkin' Bouts, very excited to be talking to an individual set for BYB 17 Brawl at Rock Hill, and a fight that's taking big prominence and for very good reason, a lot going into it, and looking forward to, you know, getting some great insights into that as Mark Irwin and Joshua Oxendine get out there into the mighty Trigon on May 13th and going to crown that first ever BYB lightweight champion. And great getting to have Mark on the show today. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me, my friend.
No problem. I mean, great to talk to you and everything like that ahead of, you know, such a big fight. What was the, you know, temperament when this bout offer came your way? I imagine you weren't necessarily surprised. You strike me as a guy that's been very much eyeballing this championship opportunity for a bit, but what was the general temperament when the bout offer came your way? I'd think at the very least you'd be excited.
Absolutely. I was extremely excited. You know, it's been a real up and down journey for me. I think I was a little surprised, to be honest, just coming off of the injury and having been out for, you know, almost a year, to be able to come back to the biggest fight possible, a world championship title fight, the inaugural BYB Lightweight Bare Knuckle Boxing Championship. It's a tremendous honor. I'm extremely excited. I can't wait to go out there and put on another spectacular highlight reel knockout of the year contending performance and bring that belt back with me to Huntington Beach, California, Fight City, USA.
That's kind of interesting, though. I mean, you talk about, you know, the layoff and maybe just the uncertainty with the title shot mostly coming from that. Like, was there a thought that maybe you might return to a title eliminator fight at one point?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't sure exactly what they had in store for me, if I was going to have to fight one more time before I was going to get the shot. You know, they just announced we're having the Trigon Combat card in Costa Mesa, which is, you know, just 10-minute drive from me over in Huntington Beach. So I thought maybe that they were planning on putting me on that card. But when I met up with the organization and they offered me the fight, you know, I couldn't have been more excited for the opportunity. And I can't wait to go out there and make the most of it.
Yeah, definitely getting that sense from you. But you know, like in an interview after your last fight, I was seeing that around then you were kind of like eyeing like a planned Miami card there circa like August 2022. And obviously that didn't pan out for good reason. I mean, you had the injury you had to attend to, rightfully so. But what else were you getting up to during that time? I mean, I imagine there was a certain level of, I guess, intrinsic frustration with all of that there. But you strike me as a guy that would use the time for something productive as well. Like, what do you think this recent time off has done for you? Or at the very least, like, what have you been getting up to aside from rehabilitating the injury since the last one?
Yeah, you know, honestly, in hindsight, it was a blessing in disguise. You know, at the time, I was coming off of a big win, and I was going right back into another bout. But to be honest with you, you know, I've been just training nonstop and competing for several years. And if I'm being entirely honest, I was just getting burnt out on the training. And it wasn't until I was no longer able to train that, you know, I really realized how much I love and appreciate it and how much I missed it and how much I wanted to just get back to training and competing. So I really feel like the setback overall really renewed my focus and my energy and my commitment. And, you know, I couldn't be more thrilled and excited to be back to training and doing what I love to do and having such a massive opportunity in front of me to really, really reinvigorated me. And, you know, it sounds crazy, but I've gotten better through this time. You know, even with all the time off, coming back to the gym, being back in sparring, all my coaches, all my training partners are you know, lauding me for, you know, the improvements that I've made in my game and the growth that I've had over this time. I truly feel like I'm the best version of myself that I've ever been as a prize fighter. And I'm having the best training camp of my career. And in 4 weeks and 6 days from today, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to show it by putting on the greatest performance of my career.
Yeah, almost in a way, it sounds like you're kind of tapping back into, you know, the feeling of almost what brought you to the proverbial dance. Like when you kind of started boxing after your, I guess, stint as a collegiate distance runner at Saddleback College there, but also with, you know, the fight IQ that comes along with over a decade, you know, pursuing this. Does it feel like a combination of those two things, like a certain renewed vigor, like touching back on what brought you to the proverbial dance, but also coupled with the increased fight IQ with all that experience?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it is a combination of things, you know, the excitement of being able to be back to training. And then also, you know, while I wasn't able to train, one thing I really prioritized was working on my mental game and working on my fight IQ. So when I wasn't able to go to the gym and train and spar and do those kind of things, I stayed home and I watched fights and I studied tape. And I really tried to grow my knowledge and my understanding of the sport on a deeper level, intellectually and conceptually. And I think I've done that. And I think that, you know, the results will be evident on fight night for BYB 17.
It's sort of curious you say that, because in referencing that article again that I just did talking about your running tenure in college, like it seems like you were kind of describing yourself at the time as someone who's not very scholastic necessarily, but hearing you talk right now, it seems like you're a studious guy. I guess it kind of just depends on the subject in question, right?
Absolutely. You know, I don't have an issue with focus. My issue is just whether or not I have interest in the subject at hand. So for me, school was never my strong suit because I wasn't interested in what I was studying. But as far as combative sports is concerned, you know, I could watch fights all day. I could talk about fights all day. It's one of the only things that truly does interest me and holds my attention. So my ability to just study my craft and devote my time and energy and attention to it fully and wholeheartedly has never been an issue.
I guess it's just interesting because I would think that you'd have just like a tremendous gas tank even from day one. Like it seems like you were very, I guess, just innately talented right from the jump. And obviously, like I've said, since developed a lot of technique and more compounded understanding of the game. But how much of a variable was that, I guess, just right from the rip, like your ability to, you know, have that kind of gas tank from what you were doing with running before? And I mean, I feel like you'd be able to just innately, you know, push a pace. So how much of that was a favorable, I guess, variable to you being able to weaponize pace early on?
Absolutely. Yeah, like you said, coming from a collegiate track and field background, you know, and then transitioning over to combat sports, I had a massive gas tank from day one. And I realized pretty quickly that that was an advantage that I had over a lot of guys in the gym. And so I quickly started to, like you said, weaponize that and develop that as a part of my strategy to use my conditioning and my pace to break down opponents. Still very much to this day, it is a part of my style and my strategy and my technique. And it's something that I think sets me apart from the competition is that I always have one more round. I always have one more mile. I can always go one more. And I get that from my track and field background.
Yeah, for sure. And definitely a lot more I want to, you know, ask you about kind of in that vein. But I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't at least briefly, you know, touch on the last fight. And I mean, just a great finish inside the distance, first round there and everything. And obviously seemed like you were on cloud nine after the Spencer Ruggieri win there. I mean, describing yourself as the baddest man on the planet and everything like that. And as you were talking about before, I mean, you also netted that 2022 KO of the year award. So just all factors considered, I mean, what were the, I guess, main takeaways from that one? I'd think you'd be on cloud nine after that, it seems.
Yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt, it was my greatest career accomplishment to date. It became the knockout of the night, which became the knockout of the year, which won me the 2022 President's Spirit Award from the Bare Knuckle Boxing Hall of Fame. I'll be attending the induction ceremony this July to receive my award from the president of the Hall of Fame. So it was definitely, you know, a career footnote, but, you know, just another step along the way here to the World Championship.
And it seems like you've had a very interesting journey in at least bare knuckle boxing so far. I mean, some cool professional boxing experience early on, but it seems like you maybe went down a bit of a YouTube rabbit hole and kind of discovering bare knuckle boxing and stuff like that. Can you kind of talk about that early experience and stuff like that? It seems like you just got into it right away.
Yeah, absolutely. After my amateur boxing career had ended, I won a couple state championships with USA Boxing. And after that, I spent a year officiating for USA Boxing as a judge, scoring fights at local events and tournaments. That was during 2019. In 2020, the pandemic happened, and the whole world shut down. So the gyms were closed. There was no events to referee or officiate at. However, there were professional boxing matches going on in Mexico, a lot of fights going on in Tijuana, at which point me and my coaches decided to get in shape and start competing and fighting in Mexico. And after winning several bouts south of the border, one day I happened to be watching YouTube and stumbled upon a bare knuckle boxing match. Like you said, I went down that rabbit hole. I watched several fights, at which point I'd come to the conclusion that my boxing skill and technique was far superior to a lot of the fighters that I had watched. And that kind of planted a seed in my mind. And then coincidentally, the next day I would be scrolling through Instagram and I noticed that a bare knuckle boxing organization, BKFC, was holding open tryouts in Tampa, Florida, in 2 weeks from the time. And I saw it as a sign from the universe and decided to buy a plane ticket and got myself a hotel room, flew across the country. Out of 50 people that showed up, they signed 5 athletes, myself being one of them. And that was the beginning of my bare knuckle boxing journey, and here we are today.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously, you know, your gloved boxing experience would, you know, pay dividends in a lot of regards in this new sport. But at the same time, some new considerations would pop up, I would imagine. Like, how did you go about kind of like studying and, I guess, curating the preparations for bare knuckle? Like, how does a bare knuckle camp differ from what you would have done previously with your gloved boxing efforts?
That's a great question. And, you know, certainly it is a different sport than boxing. I think that my pedigree in the sport of gloved boxing certainly gives me an advantage in a lot of respects. However, to think that being good at glove boxing is going to make you good at bare knuckle boxing would be a foolish assumption. And so we've always approached this sport as its own sport. And some of the changes that we made in crossing over, I brought on an MMA coach, Ian Uncle Creepy McCall, the former flyweight world champion and former UFC superstar. Is a close friend of mine, mentor, and one of my head coaches. So we brought him on to really work on the clinch game and inside fighting. Right, right. So bring Ian on to work on clinch fighting and developing systems specific to bare knuckle boxing. And then we started sparring primarily with mixed martial artists as opposed to professional boxers and training, because most bare knuckle boxers are mixed martial artists who are coming over from MMA, and the way that MMA fighters box and throw their punches stylistically is different than most boxers, and the rule set allowing for underhooks, overhooks, tie clinch, tie palm, punching in the clinch, things like that is more akin to MMA. So having made those changes, I think really helped us develop a system and a skill set specific to bare knuckle that has allowed us to flourish to this point. And, you know, we've continued working on those skills, and I can't wait to showcase everything that we've been working on and developing in the gym on May 13th.
Yeah, it seems like you've curated a great team around you with, like, Bobby Chavez and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Bobby's Boxing Club in Laguna Beach. You know, it's a small pro-am gym, but it's one of the best gyms here in Orange County. We have myself competing for the BYB Lightweight Bare Knuckle Boxing Championship on May 13th. One of my stablemates, Chelsea Maymay Anderson, is the WBC Women's Lightweight International Champion. She is undefeated, top-ranked world contender, and she'll be fighting for a major boxing promotion world title here soon. You know, our coach was trained by Coach Mack, who recently passed away. Rest in peace, Coach Mack. He trained 7 world champions, including Huntington Beach's own Julio Gonzalez. So coming from a great school of boxing with you know, great coaches and training partners has been an invaluable asset to me as a fighter. You know, having them, having, you know, Ian McCall on my team, being able to train with high-level UFC fighters and coaches has, you know, it's had a tremendous impact on the development of my skill set and my knowledge, and I'm extremely grateful to be surrounded by such talented coaches and fighters.
Yeah, and I mean, still relatively early in your bare-knuckle journey, but getting to experience some really interesting perspectives already, and I'm kind of curious to, you know, get some insights on that, just being that you got to compete in the competitive space BKFC utilizes, but then also competing in the Trigon, which you called the world's smallest combat sports ring. Like, what are, I guess, some of the differences and, I guess, considerations you have compared to, you know, BKFC style fighting in that kind of specific framework versus how you approach fighting in the Trigon?
Yeah, you know, it is very different. I'm fortunate that I've been able to fight for the 2 largest promotions in the sport. BKFC, fighting in the square circle, right, is a large circular ring that allows for a lot of movement and footwork. It's great if you want to use lateral movement in the circle and turn your opponent. You can keep spinning that thing forever. It's really hard to back somebody up because of the shape of the ring. Whereas in BYB, in the Trigon, which is the world's smallest combat sports surface, there's really nowhere to go. So it forces the confrontation, it forces the action. If you take 3 back steps, you're going to end up on the rope or in the corner. And one of the things to consider, too, about the mighty Trigon is that because there's only 3 corners instead of 4, the angles of each corner is substantially more narrow, being, I think, 60 or 66 degrees. As opposed to 90 degrees, which makes it tougher to get out of if you do indeed get backed up in that corner. So considerations as far as movement, distance, and footwork all need to be taken into account for the different surfaces and shapes of the ring. You know, I love fighting in the Trigon. It is the world's most dangerous combat sports ring, and it really adds to the level of excitement.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Definitely fun, even from like a viewership perspective, to, you know, check out what's going on in the Trigon. But just in discussing your next opponent, Joshua Oxendine, I'm kind of curious about, you know, some of your thoughts on like what he brings to the table, because the comparisons can exist at least on paper a bit in as far as both of you having successes in gloved boxing and, you know, bare knuckle boxing, getting a couple stoppages in, you know, bare knuckle ranks and things of that nature. Like, what are your thoughts on, you know, Joshua Oxendine in terms of, I guess, just his resume? Like, what are your thoughts on what he's been able to do in gloved boxing and bare knuckle recently leading into this title fight?
Yeah, you know, Oxendine, he's a tough opponent. He's got a lot of experience, but at the end of the day, his skill set is not on par with my skill set. His tools are more limited than my tools. I'm a better boxer. I hit harder. I have a higher fight IQ. I'm tougher. I got more heart. I got bigger balls. I'm better looking. My tattoos are better. I talk better. Everything, I do everything better. You know, Oxendine is going to come in. He's going to do what he's going to do. Tough country boy. But at the end of the day, you know, being a tough guy in the sport is going to get you hurt. And that's exactly what's going to happen to Joshua Oxendine, the altar boy, on May 13th. I'm going to knock him out viciously, violently, and emphatically.
And I'm curious because I've seen some banter you guys have had online and in some of the promotional material. It's talking about, like, this has been months of, you know, chirping, culminating into this. Like, can you offer some insights into that? Like, when did, you know, all of this kind of start, like the banter and the back and forth? Is it mostly oriented to just both of you, I guess, vying for that BYB lightweight title position, or is it maybe something more than that?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I'd actually never heard of this kid until he started calling me out. Whereas, you know, I came over to BYB, I had a certain amount of hype around me from previous performances. You know, as far as I'm concerned, when I came over to BYB, I was already the lightweight championship of this organization. I was already the best fighter on the roster. And after going out there and putting on the highlight reel, knockout of the year performance like I did, obviously, that's going to garner a lot of attention from other fighters in the sport. And as a result, a lot of people started calling me out after that. And I don't blame them. I get it. You know what I mean? When you're the top dog, everybody's going to start barking at you. And that's exactly what happened. So Oxendine got a couple of wins, started calling my name. And, you know, here we are. But Squeaky Wheel gets the grease. And that nail that sticks out the furthest is the one that gets hammered down first. And in this case, that's Joshua Oxendine. So he ran his mouth. He got the shot. Good for him. But he's going to come to regret it May 13th because I'm going to knock his ass out.
I was going to say, like, what, is there something you see in his approach that lends itself to that belief? Or is it more of just realizing what you bring to the table, I suppose?
It's both. You know, I mean, I'm an undefeated, award-winning, prize fighter with a world-class team around me, with world championship coaches in MMA, boxing, strength and conditioning. My sparring partners are all world-class. You know what I mean? My resume speaks for itself. As far as Oxendine is concerned, I believe he has 8 professional losses in his combative sports career, 9 as far as I'm concerned, 6 and 7 of which are stoppages. You know, he's a tough kid. But he's dumb, he lacks skills, and he, quite frankly, he lacks heart. He's been stopped many times, he's going to get stopped again, and that's an inevitable conclusion.
I was going to say, it seems like in your wording you were thinking there was another fight he should have lost within that. What particular fight were you alluding to there?
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to go ahead and look up on YouTube, BYB3. Joshua Oxendine made his bare-knuckle boxing debut. Early in round one, Oxendine suffered an eye poke. The referee called timeout and gave Oxendine up to 5 minutes to recover from the accidental foul. However, after less than 1 minute, Oxendine elected to tell the referee that he could not see, and the bout was declared a no contest. As far as I'm concerned, by forfeiting the additional 4 minutes that he had to recover from the incidental foul, proves that he lacks heart, he lacks toughness, and he, quite frankly, didn't want to be in there. So he found a way out when an offer was presented to him, and he took it. Me, quite frankly, I am not cut from that cloth. I would rather die in that ring than give up. But you know what I mean? He ain't built like that, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to show it. I'm going to knock this dude out brutally. I'm going to end this man's career. I'm going to shut him up. I'm going to make him rue the day that he ever said my name.
So the shark is going to be smelling blood in the water, as some could say.
Yeah, they're going to throw an altar boy in the shark tank with a great white at feeding time, and it's going to be brutal.
I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't get the backstory on the nickname. I usually ask fighters about that and just who gave them the moniker and just what it was derived from. So how did you come to be known as the Shark?
Well, Mark the Shark, you know what I mean? I've lived in all the beach cities in California, from San Francisco to La Jolla and everything in between, Muscle Beach, Venice Beach, Killer Dana Point, and now Surf City, USA, Huntington Beach. So the beach is my home. The shark is the most dangerous predator in the ocean, and that certainly fits the bill.
Yeah, I love that. Definitely a great nickname. The rhyming component always something I appreciate for sure. And I mean, kind of lends itself to one of the post fight interviews you did where you said you'd be down to fight underwater on a mountain, etc. But just one of the last questions I had here for you, because it seems like you very much have a great historical appreciation for bare knuckle. Like, it seemed like you derived a certain level of pride from fighting in a place like, you know, Biloxi, Mississippi, which is very important to, you know, bare knuckle, both past and also present as well. So to that point, like, how much would it, I guess, lend itself to what you're doing, like, in terms of a, you know, capstone achievement to cement yourself as the first BYB lightweight champion?
Yeah, you know, I'm a huge fan of combat sports. I always have been since I was a kid. I grew up watching boxing with my dad. We used to watch old tapes of Marvelous Marvin Hagler, Thomas the Hitman Hearns, Roberto Duran, Sugar Ray Leonard, you know, all the great old fights. And he would always teach me all the history about all the fighters, how they got their nicknames and who beat who and all that stuff. And I was always fascinated with it. So I grew up watching all these old fights and studying the history of the sport. I've always been an unofficial historian, if you will. You know, so I love knowing about the guys that came before me, and to have an opportunity to cement my place in history as the inaugural BYB lightweight champion, and to be one of, I think, the first 25 bare knuckle champions to be crowned worldwide since the reemergence of the sport in the U.S. here in 2018 is a tremendous honor, and I can't wait to go out there and, you know, stamp my mark here on the history books and cement my place as one of the true greats in the game today. I'm currently ranked number 3 worldwide in the sport of bare knuckle boxing on BoxRec.com. And after I knock out Oxendine, I'm taking that number 1 spot. And there will be no more debate about it. I will be the best lightweight bare knuckle boxer on the planet.
Well, I was definitely excited for this fight before talking to you, but, you know, compounded that much further after getting these insights from you, man. But like I was saying earlier, definitely, you know, want to be mindful of your time and schedule, that being said. So is there any, like, final parting thought you might want to add as we're wrapping up here, Mark?
Yeah, you know, make sure to tune in for the pay-per-view May 13th, BYB 17, Rock Hill, South Carolina. You know, if you want to tune in and see the altar boy get fed to a shark live on pay-per-view television, I'm going to deliver one of the most exciting, tremendous, and explosive knockouts you've ever seen. Mark my words.
We get to see it May 13th at BYB 17 Brawl at Rock Hill. And yeah, it should be a great fight as Mark Irwin and Joshua Oxendine get out there into the Trigon. But, you know, to reiterate, thanks so much for coming on the show and giving great insights, Mark. Looking forward to, you know, checking out the fight when it goes down. But until then, you have a good rest of your day there, man.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate you. Thanks for having me.